Welcome to another message from Bible Readings, lesson number 236. We're in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, Katamathion. And now Jesus, we're in 13 verse, by the way, 14:13. Now when Jesus heard, he withdrew from there in a boat to a lonely place by himself, and the multitudes that heard this, they followed him on foot from the cities. He was trying to get away. He was tired. He wanted a little solitude. He wanted some prayer time. And when he came out, he saw a great multitude and felt compassion for them and healed their sick. And remember, every time this happened, every time he healed anybody, power went from him. Power through the Holy Spirit was dwelling in him, but power went out of him. He became tired. He became weary. He was hungry. And he saw a great multitude and felt compassion for them and healed their sick. And when it was evening, the disciples came to him saying, "This place is desolate, and the time is already past, so send the multitudes away that we may go into the villages and buy food for ourselves." They didn't have enough food to feed the disciples, what we might call the immediate church that was following him. They didn't have enough food to feed them, and he's telling them that he wants to feed the group. And Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." Now, they just told him that they didn't have enough food to eat. They need to go to a village so they can buy something. A village, a village was some place where you had food. Well, they had vendors out there. You could buy bread. Bread was basically a big tortilla. Very seldom did you see a loaf of bread like a loaf of bread. It was a tortilla. And right here he's going to find out that we got five tortillas, basically. Five thin loaves of bread and two fish. How big were the fish? Were these marlins this big, or were they little fish? Probably little fish. Little fish, little hand-sized fish. And he said, "Then bring them here. Bring them to me. Bring the fish and bring the loaves of bread to me." And ordering the multitudes to lay up on the grass, is what it literally says in the Greek, lay up on the grass, he took the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up toward heaven, he blessed the food, and breaking the loaves, he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave it to the multitude. Now, let's go back. Go back to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy about the 18th chapter. Back there where Moses fed and watered the people in the wilderness, remember? Moses... God told Moses that God is going to rain bread from heaven to you. He's going to rain bread from heaven to you. And also they had quail coming in flying about waist high and just covered the camp of Israel. So they had bread, manna, what is it? And that bread tasted like
coriander.
It tasted like honey-soaked loaves of bread. Crackers that were dipped in honey, that's what it tastes like. Crackers that were dipped in honey. And Moses fed them. Well, actually Jesus said, "I am the bread, I am the water." Jesus was there, but Moses did the miracle. And Jesus said, "I was the bread, I was the water." And he said, "Bring them here to me," and ordering the multitudes to lay up on the grass, he took the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up toward heaven, he blessed the food, and breaking loaves, he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. Now, how much is the multitude there?
5,000.
5,000 to 15,000 people. An okloi is 5,000. Okloi, that's plural. It is basically 10,000 to 15,000, 20,000 people. There are a lot of people here. Now, I don't know about you, but I used to work in a refinery, and I worked in the oil fields. I worked at Sully & Son Hydraulics. I worked at Ace Hydraulics. And all these places, they had these copper carts, basically a food cart come in there, and they would take and they would go from place to place, and they'd take off in the morning, and they could probably feed 200 or 300 people. We're talking about 15,000 people. How many copper carts, so to speak, in the world today? How many McDonald's? You know, you're going to McDonald's, or you're going to Burger King, or you're going to Carl's Jr. over there in Bishop. You're going to these places, and Bishop is a what we might call a tourist town, and they, because it's so beautiful. And they go in there, and they pull up with bus loads, like 75 people in a bus. And they go in there to Burger King, and I mean those people are overwhelmed for a while. We're not talking about 75 people here. We're talking about 15,000 people. 15,000 people. And Jesus feeds them with five tortillas, basically, and two fish. Jesus fed Israel in the wilderness through Moses. Jesus had rained down bread from heaven in manna, manna. What is it? What it means, manna. It tasted like tortillas dipped or crackers dipped in honey. Wonderful. Not only that, but it gave them all the nutrients. They didn't have to take vitamins, people, or supplements or anything else. It was all there. It was all there. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up what was left over of broken pieces, 12 full baskets. 12 big baskets. Now, Sharon walks down to her laundry room there from the apartment building where she lives in Tehachapi, and Marilyn carries a basket full of clothes from my bedroom into here and wherever else she picks them up. And it's a pretty heavy load. Now, this is, can you imagine 12 baskets full? 12 full baskets overflowing. Now, he started out with five tortillas, basically. Now, he ends up with 12 full baskets. And there were all about 5,000 men who ate outside from women and children. Here, 5,000, we got to have 15,000 people at least. 15,000 people. 15,000 people were fed. Now, verse number 22. And immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat. Now, there weren't very many of them here, were there? They got into a boat. All of them. And they go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Now, what we're going to have here, Jesus is going to send the decoy. Now, down here on our little creek where we live here, the guy that kind of cleared that area out and everything else, he took some mallard duck decoys and put there in the creek. And the ducks, we have mallard ducks up here all over. We have snow geese, some, and we have Canadian geese. And they would come, and the mallards would look down there, and they would see a couple of mallard ducks sitting down there in the pond. That's a decoy. So they would go down there, and they would land, and they would water around in the water, or get out there and eat grass and whatever. You know, they'd be there for a while. Well, now Jesus is going to send a decoy. He's going to decoy. Jesus needs to pray, and he needs to rejuvenate himself. He's tired. And immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him on the other side, and he sent the multitudes away. And after he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already many, strata, many strata, a strata is about 600 feet. So it's out there in that lake. It says many strata, 3,000 feet out there. 3,000 feet away, half a mile out in the ocean, or not in the ocean, but in the lake, the Sea of Gennesaret, Sea of Galilee. Many strata away from the land, battered by the waves. Now remember, when you have the Jewish idea of on the Sea of Galilee, when you have this great all sudden storm, they had an idea that a great Leviathan was stirring. They looked at the bottom of that lake as the gates of hell itself. The gates of Sheol. The gates of Hades. They looked at the bottom of that lake like it was the gates of Sheol. And they thought that when that Leviathan, this great supernatural creature, maybe one that swallowed Jonah, that caused the storms. They said that great Leviathan caused the storm. So here, they got in their head that there's a Leviathan stirring up there and the gates of hell are opening. Somebody's dying or whatever. But the boat was already many strata away from the land and battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night now, that means between 9 and 12, between 9 p.m. and 12. 9 p.m. to 12. The fourth watch of night. They came to them walking on the sea. Walking on the sea. Walking in the middle of the night here. Some people may say 3 to 6 a.m. The fourth watch of the night. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were struck out of their senses. They were frightened. They were terrified. It's a ghost. It's a spirit. Now the word ghost, by the way, the King James translated that ghost, the word ghost. There is no such thing as ghost. There are such things as spirits. Demon spirits. And they thought that's what it was. They thought they were seeing a demon spirit. They thought they were seeing a phantasma. It's what it is in Greek. And they cried out for fear. They were screaming for fear when they saw him walking on the waters. A phantasma, an apparition. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be phobeste." Do not ye be phobeste. See, we get a word phobia from that word in Greek, phobeste. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, since it is you." Now, in the English, it's if. In Greek, it is not an if. That's the word since. That's a conditional particle that is a condition determined as fulfilled, so it should be translated since. "Lord, since it is you, command me to come out to you on the water." Now, I want to come out there and do that too. Peter's always sticking his foot in his mouth. You know, he's always trying to get out there and be the big shot. And Jesus said, "Come, come, come." And Peter got out of the boat. And he walked on water and he came to Jesus. He came toward Jesus, actually. Prosopopnesu. He came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became afraid and began, he's beginning to sink. And he cried out, said, "Lord, save me, Lord, save me." He's crying out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him. Now, instead of showing off, guess what? Peter sunk. Instead of showing off, Peter showed off his lack of faith. you of little faith, why do you doubt? And they got into the boat. Oligpiste, that's the word. Oligos, that means little faith, you of little faith. Why do you doubt? Adistos, why do you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, you are certainly God's son. You are really the son of woman. You are really the son of man. You are really the son of God. Have you ever seen anything that just frightened you? Just totally frightened you? Have you ever seen anything that you know was supernatural and it frightened you? That's what they saw here. So many years ago, 1985, that's another lifetime, by the way, another lifetime. I was out there taking a bath out of the hot well, and we were coming back home. My son Jimmy and I were together, and I looked over and I saw this man walking out there. He was walking really fast, and I didn't say anything. Jimmy was talking, telling me about something or other. I was just sitting there listening, driving 5 miles an hour or less, just poking along, just enjoying the night. We were all warm from being in the hot well, 105 degrees, 200 gallons a minute coming out of there. And I knew the country here, so I said, well, that guy's going to cut me off down there because he's broke down out there or something. You know, why in the world would we be out here in the middle of the night? Didn't even have a flashlight. So we went up the mountain, and we come down, and we go like this, and he walks across the road in front of me. But it's not a man. It is a Bigfoot. It is something that's absolutely, when I saw that thing, I was terrified. I have shot lions and bobcats, raccoons. I have taken live raccoons, put my foot in their mouth, and tied their feet up and put them in a dog box when I was coon hunting. I've killed wild hogs. The only weapon that I used to kill a wild hog with, or bear, or lions, whatever it was a .22 pistol K model, six-shooter. It didn't even have but six shots in it. And I wasn't afraid of them. Remember one time over on the coast, I was over there killing wild hogs, and there were three wild hogs there that we had penned up in this pasture out there. I had to get out there and go get them with this pistol. And it was hard for them to get out of the pasture. I kept getting them, holding them away from where the holes were so they could get out. I got out there and I shot one big Russian wild boar, 350 pounds, and he fell down dead, I thought. I shot another 500-pounder, and he hit the ground dead. Then I shot another sow, 250 pounds, and she squealed once and came charging at me. I shot her. She fell over dead. I had this stabbing knife. I went over and stabbed the sow and the other boar and was going toward that Russian wild boar, and here he came after me. He woke up. If I'd have got to him before, I could have stabbed him. Would never have any trouble. But now, this guy got hair like a porcupine. With big dust coming out of his mouth, snapping those tusks, sounded like a .22 pistol going off, charging me. And I had two bullets left in the six-shooter. I shot him, and he hit the ground. Got right back up. Shot him, hit the ground. Got right back up. I'm shooting him all every time I'm in the brain. I had to jump out of the corral and go load six more shells in there. Here I came in, and the guy, the pastor with me, Dieter, was that telling me, you crazy Indian, you're going to get killed. That thing's going to chew you up. He's going to rip you to pieces. I said, don't worry about it. I got out there and I dropped him six more times. But he kept getting up. I wasn't afraid at all. I had no fear of that thing. And yet he was deadly. I had two other ones dead out there. Anyway, he kept coming. Let me go get a 30-06 or 308 or 30-30 or something. You're going to get killed. I said, don't worry about it. I put six more bullets in that gun, and I went back after him again. I shot him six more times, and he hit the ground every time. Finally, he stayed down. I got that stabbing knife, and I jumped up on him, put my foot on his head, and my right foot on his head, and I stabbed him down into his heart, and he jumped up and threw me about 6 foot in the ground, and I hit the in the air, and I hit the ground running away from him. I had no more bullets. The gun was empty. I'm running backwards, and I think he's running at me, this blood gushing out until he fell over. Now, my son was with me, and he saw me do all these things. And when we got up there, when this thing walked across the road in front of me, I got up to where it walked, and I stopped. And I said, "Jimmy, do you see something?" He said, "What'd you see?" I said, "What'd you see?" And about that time, he grabbed the spotlight, and I had a .44 Magnum loaded sitting in the seat. And he grabbed the spotlight. I said, "Leave it alone." I took off. He said, "What's wrong with you, Dad?" I said, "That thing's not normal." He said, "I've seen you shoot wild hogs." He said, "You can shoot pennies in the air with this pistol." And he said, "What is wrong with you? What's wrong?" I said, "That thing's not normal. It was supernatural of some sort. Something was going on here." Well, we wouldn't go back. He wanted to go back and look at the tracks. I wouldn't go. I went on down the road. I was in shock for about 2 or 3 days. Shock, like these people were right here. I was in shock. Now, when the boat, those who were in the boat, worshipped him, saying, "You are certainly God's son, the Son of God, Huiotuthiu, the God-man." And when they had crossed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. It's called the Sea of Gennesaret, you know. And when the men at the place recognized him, they sent into all the surrounding district and brought to him all who were ill. And they kept on begging him that he might touch the fringe of his coat. As many as touched it were cured. Supernatural. What Jesus did out there walking on water was supernatural. What he did when he called Peter out there on water was supernatural. All the miracles that he did before, when he fed the 15,000, remember there's 5,000 men plus women and children, there had to be at least 15,000. He fed 15,000 people with 2 fish and 5 tortillas, basically, and had 12 baskets left over. The power of God, supernatural. When I got out there and when I was terrified by that thing, I thought that I came into the presence of evil. I was terrified. I never was terrified like that before. I faced death before. many times. I just the worse it gets, the straighter I shoot. Let's put it that way. Most people couldn't hit the broadside of a barn when they're scared, but I would shoot. I shot that hog with 6, 12, 13, 14, 15 shots, and you could put your thumb over where all of them hit him in the head. Little bitty, about the size of a nickel, maybe as large as a quarter. Under pressure. But out there, with whatever that was, I felt so small. And when I think about miracles like this, him walking on the sea, when he stood up and stilled the sea, when he cast out demons, I think of that power, that terrible, tremendous, supernatural power. You know what? Jesus can save you with that supernatural power today. He can save your soul, forgive you of your sins. That's the most important thing. We always ask God to heal us or heal somebody. But you know what's greater than all that? Is Him saving a soul, a lost man or a lost woman, to go on their way to hell. That is a miracle snatching down out of the very flames of Hades. Our Father, we send this message out today. I pray that you use it for your honor and glory. Touch lives where they are in the world. Bring glory to yourself. Please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.